Yeah, intro music. Play some music under this bit here. Yeah, that sounds good. Like it. All right, welcome to the off-season on Rugby Pass. My name is James McConey. I'm here with Melody Robinson and Liam Napier. Hello there.
Kia ora.
Kia ora. Melody, of course, is a Sky Sport commentator. Now she's moved into, she's a suit.
Well, no, I still do women's commentary because that's my passion, so they're letting me do that.
I beg your pardon.
Yeah.
And you're a four-time world champion?
Only two, James.
Okay.
Good try, though.
Maybe we could have got someone who's won more World Cups in here. Liam Napier, who is not from Napier, you're actually from Foxton, and you enjoy the Fizz, is it? Foxton Fizz?
Can't go wrong with the Foxton Fizz.
What's that?
It's a world-famous fizzy drink. I'd highly recommend lime.
Okay.
Lime. Okay. And you're heading there for Christmas, I take it?
I am. Back to the, I was going to say the motherland, but we'll just call it a bit of an oasis. Catch up with family and friends and take in the beautiful West Coast beach that it is.
Oh, you can drive on the beach there, can't you?
You can. Lots of sand dunes and blue bottles and
driftwood. There wouldn't be, if you were single, there wouldn't be a lot of singleness happening there, would there?
It's fair to say there's a fair bit of teen pregnancy and the like, but
things that it's famous for.
Yeah, it's a great place.
Ticking off the list, so Liam also writes for the New Zealand Herald, a rugby writer who's been on tour for a lot of the year. And we're going to start off with the All Blacks, of course, and the big story of the year was the Lions tour. It was massive, great for Sky, Mel, but disappointing for New Zealanders in the end.
Well, yeah, but that's the rugby frenetics that basically were disappointed, because everybody else that actually went down to Shed 5, the Cloud, hung out at the pubs, enjoyed all the fans, they had a great old time. So, yes, it was a draw. We didn't get the result we wanted, but it's, honestly, people were still pretty happy.
Liam, you were there covering it and seeing Warren Gatland get grumpy and then smug and then weirdly sort of celebrating at the end. What did you make of it for New Zealand? What's going to go down in history as a missed opportunity?
Yeah, I think so. I agree with Mel. It was magic off the field. I got to Eden Park before the third test, about an hour and a half, 2 hours before, and there's thousands of Lions fans around the concourse just drinking and having a ball, you know. And that sort of spread throughout the country with wherever you went. New Zealand fans are boring, aren't they?
Yes.
You know, we sit there and we're boring. We don't know how to actively support and get into things. So to have that Northern Hemisphere flavour is magical. They know how to do it properly. So that side of it was brilliant. And, you know, you'd wish that they could come back every year.
Did you not get into the Tu Te Mai Ngā Iwi?
Oh,
you got over that pretty quickly, didn't we?
Yeah.
Didn't quite take off. I think forced, chanting is tough at the best of times. I grew up in the Waikato where people would just ring cowbells, and then the Mulu Ole Ole song came along. It was a revolution.
Yes.
In the 90s, probably the only New Zealand crowd that sang, really, New Zealand rugby crowd. But, of course, it's faded away now, and I think the Lions fans, you look at the Tongan fans in rugby league, they're teaching us a massive lesson, because it did feel like almost a home game for the Lions, didn't it, Eden Park?
Do you know, and one of the storylines to come out of the whole Lions tour was Warren Gatland. And, yeah, we gave him some shit, didn't we, the Kiwi fans. He said in an interview over the weekend, oh, I must have been naive, I didn't think Kiwis would do that to me. Really? We're the worst fans in the world. We abuse everybody. We're arrogant.
Yeah, and we were abusing the ref as well by the end, which is our go-to when you consider what happened with Wayne Barnes.
Come on down, Wayne Barnes.
Yeah. Who had to go into witness protection under the name Wayne Kerr for years. You're mates with Wayne, aren't you?
Well, he came over to dinner at my house one time. Oh. He's quite interesting. He's a criminal lawyer. Smart.
Yeah, he's a criminal referee as well. What Romain Poit, though, was it? It was more than that, wasn't it? We butchered a lot of chances. Did we get it right? We didn't respond to the rush defence, Liam.
We butchered. You're right. We butchered the series. We got carried away after the first test. The All Blacks were tactically brilliant, in the way that they played off nine. They went up the middle and they caught the Lions massively by surprise. Then it pissed down in Wellington. Still a magic atmosphere, but the red card changed the complexion of the match. They went into their shells despite bringing on a back and they played a forward orientated game, which was a bit bizarre. And you know, they still had the Lions on the rack for 60 minutes and blew it. And then in that first half, they could have had, in the final test, they could have had four tries. You know, they promoted rookies and Laumapi and Jordy Barrett, and they stepped up and they blew it. And yes, the ref cost them the match, but in hindsight, did he really? You know, the All Blacks could have won that game well before then, and that's the reality of it.
I think they had 20 minutes of good rugby over the three test matches, and that's so disappointing. And that was really interesting how they did go to that forward-orientated game. That's probably how they thought they were going to beat that defence, that umbrella-type defence, but it played entirely into the Lions' hands.
Whenever I watch the All Blacks, I think in a tough test match like that, I become 12 years old again. You know, and you need them to win. And there were just so many things that I just couldn't deal with in that final test match. But I felt like milking that penalty against Wyatt Crockett. I mean, there's always players lying in the back of the ruck. Halfbacks are always having to avoid, you know, the flotsam and jetsam back there. I think we've got to say that refs have to get a little bit wiser to all that sort of stuff. You know what I'm saying?
I think
always someone lying.
What they should do is rather than give a penalty, just blow a scrum. Mm. Because, you know, that's not much of an advantage, is it? So
no.
Halfbacks, I'm a halfback, and cheeky as hell, aggressive, and you'll get away with anything you can.
It's the same with flankers, props.
That's not just on the field. That's off the field.
Oh. Yes. Yeah. Oh, well, that's proven correct.
Referees are funny creatures because it's only the ones who are super confident, who have a big pair of balls, that are actually able to make big calls. God, that rhymed.
That's right. Yeah, and no, but that's you're right. I think we're making really good progress here. I thought
Eminem in the house.
Yes. And if you do you want to rhyme some more?
No, that's it.
But rhyme with poit.
But it's true, though, because... Oh, poit. I just did a...
No, I don't know if that I
mean, talking about 12 years old, right. Again, eh?
Yes, okay.
Hey, but no, seriously, because what happens when, say, there's a critical incident in a game and referees get assessed and they get marked afterwards, they have to be able to justify to the international selectors, to their peers, why they made a decision on the field. So most of them just remain safe and just go with the flow. So it's only the very, very strong ones that can actually be super good because they are brave.
Absolutely right. Now, Romain Poit, I heard from a referee, because the referees sort of all help each other. They're like this little secret community. So the referee who was down under Eden Park after the game saw Romain Poit, and he was so gutted that he said, I think he realised they had done the wrong thing, but also that it became a talking point. He didn't want to be a factor in the game whatsoever. He became this massive factor. But what I thought was, you know, that penalty that he reduced to a scrum. I mean, in a lot of games, refs will never give that as a penalty. But in the very next, or one of the rucks after that, there was a clear offside. And I think by then he'd lost it. He was, you know, he was having an out-of-body experience. He wasn't there. He just wanted it to finish by then and couldn't make, like you said, the ballsy call.
Mm.
Why are we talking about refs? Because we're Kiwis. But I actually, the one other interesting thing I thought is that Julian Savea came back and I thought, oh, this is a good chance to prove himself. And the poor guy dropped the ball cold. Then there was another opportunity. It just didn't go his way. And now that All Blacks machine is so ruthless. You just get spat out the back.
And it's funny with Severe because it wasn't an isolated incident. You know, he been up and down for the best part of 2 years. You know, if you think about the Hurricanes final, you know, he similar experience, dropped the ball with the line open. But the All Blacks kept faith in him and they kept him in the squad and then they brought him back. And then, you know, you get a guy like Rico and what can you do? 19, 20-year-old kid who's just absolutely destined for that stage and... he's quicker than Severe, he's better on his feet, you know, and it's really hard to see a way back from now.
Yeah, Julian Severe is one of those players you've got to manage. They managed him for a few years, but he didn't come to the play. He didn't push himself, whereas Akira, awesome. And do you know what happened with Akira Ioane on the way over to Monaco for the World Rugby Awards?
No.
He doesn't usually drink any beer or anything.
Oh.
And he'd had a few beersies after the final test. and isn't used to it, so was puking on the plane on the way to Monaco, sitting next to the All Black coach.
Really?
So he was so ill when he received his Breakthrough Player of the Year award. If you look back at the tape, you'll realise he is as white as a ghost.
I'm sure Shag's dealt with a few of those over the years.
It's a great time to, you know, get runs on the board, pop your cherry when it comes to booze, because on tour it would have been more than a few, wouldn't it? Surely that's.
Well, if you're not, no, I think, no, they're pretty good, the All Blacks now, but okay. If you don't drink ever and you suddenly have some beersies, it's not good.
Akira, yes, well, he was brought into the fold. Let's talk about, say, some of the new faces coming through this year. Interesting that we still, in New Zealand, produce these amazing players, and it's not just really from New Zealand, but like you look at Vaifafita, Asofa Almua, amazing. Liam, did you just go, right, this is it, this is the new generation? Or are you thinking, hold on, there's still value in the old guys?
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? I guess a guy like Vaia had Jerome not had his off-field issues. It might have taken him a little while longer to come through.
What were you talking about?
I just took a shine to a model, and there's different privacy laws in Australia, and so things leak out that wouldn't have in New Zealand. Hell of a thing to deal with that. Yeah,
interesting choice of words leaking out there, but I think that for someone like Jerome, he can actually make his way back. He's such a colossus of a player that I think that not having him in there, yes, Brody Retallick was missed, but surely we're missing that sort of tight loose play again. Terrible words to use, but
well, I heard that he's still one of the quickest in the All Blacks side. So you think, oh, he's old, maybe he's past his use by, but he's not. He's amazing. And then I saw him when he wasn't with the All Blacks, and he was cut and conditioned. So he's looking after himself.
He's getting injured a lot more now, though. If you think about the past year, he did the knee on the India tour. He's, 33. You've got Liam Squires, a pretty hell of an athlete himself. So he's another sort of, I guess, in the Julian Sevier that, he's off contract next year. He's probably going to give himself the Super Rugby season to crack his way back in. And if he can't, then maybe Japan or France beckons.
Yeah, that's the natural course, isn't it, where everybody just takes off overseas. Asafa Almua, what's happening there?
Wow.
We've got a superstar on our hands, don't we?
Yeah, so you have the Under-20 World Cup, and Willie Losei comes back from that telling us about this, Asafa guy. And then suddenly we start seeing him in the Lions. Obviously the talent people with the All Blacks knew this guy was on the radar for a while, but he is unbelievable. Impact, every time he hits a tackle or goes into contact, he always makes a difference. He's a little bit like Adi Savier in that respect. And I thought the Lions were awesome as well this season. So he was just a pleasure to see come through.
Yeah, it was that whole Lions pack, wasn't it? Their front row. It's been a long, long time since I've seen a Wellington forward pack dominate. They've always had the Rolls-Royce back line. He's like Bill Thuvanbati on steroids, with pace
and fitter.
Yeah.
Have you seen Bill lately? He's such a cool guy.
There is looking at someone like him coming through, because you need to find a way, I guess, to integrate him into the team. There's also the fact that I think guys like Waisaki Naholo, Sam Kane, and even Damian McKenzie, I thought they looked the part. You can criticize McKenzie or all you like, because people seem to do, they want to do that with any new kid on the block. But he was amazing in Cape Town.
And looking forward, his transition to number 10, that's going to be of real interest for Super Rugby 2018. You heard the rumours that Dave Rennie didn't play him there, even though the All Black selectors were saying, can we please see him there? But this year, Colin Cooper, or next year, will be putting him. So I just can't wait to see how he develops. Aaron Cruden-like, that's what I predict.
Really? Yes. He is courageous. He's very sprightly.
He is tiny, isn't he? But Cruden was tiny as well, and he was, gutsy and a brilliant, actually, front-on defender. I think 10 is going to be Damien's position. At fullback, he is a lot of responsibility. And when you're coming into a test rugby and you're replacing a guy like Benton Smith, who, you know, pretty much doesn't make a mistake, it's bloody hard. And so, yeah, you mentioned Sam Kane. I think probably his best year, that final test of the year, he made 30-odd tackles. And, you know, from a leadership point of view, he's huge. And it's not just the tackles he makes, but he's like a Pacific Islander in the way he tackles. He smashes people.
And another nice rumour or truth that I heard yesterday from Brad Webber,
yes,
is that Taweta Kerbalo used to waste him every single time they did fitness tests. So, because I always used to wonder, why do they always pick Taweta? Well, it turns out that he is unbelievably fit.
That's interesting. It's quite good how you like to reveal your source before you carry on. I like that. Always reveal your sources on the off-season, which, yep, is the name of the show that you're listening to. Melody Robinson, Liam Napier, I'm James McConey. So, look, the reason why I mentioned Sam Kane is because I thought he was one of the guys that took a step up. And Waisaki Naholo, who's been amazing in Super Rugby for quite some time, but has always never quite looked like he was the go-to guy at test level. I reckon that's all changed now. He has definitely said, right, it's me who has to be in that 14 jersey.
We got to leave the Fijian leaves for a year, didn't it? You know, he's finally
off the league. Yeah,
yeah, finally fit, which was a big thing for him. He'd been in spits and spats, probably shouldn't have gone to the 2015 World Cup, wasn't really ready, played one game from memory. Mm. But this India tour was a massive turning point for him, played just about every match. And it wasn't just scoring tries, but he was setting people up. He's offloading. He was busy. He's scrambling back on defence. And he probably opened the All Blacks' eyes a wee bit, because they tend to like to have a, you know, an Israel Dagg, a fullback type player on the wing. But the two power winger element worked for them. So looking ahead to next year when everyone's back on deck, it's going to be really interesting to see the balance of their back three.
All right. We're going to move on to the highlight of the year. Melody, and that is not the World Masters Games
over
40s, yeah, social touch gold medal. It's not about that. It's about the Black Ferns winning the Rugby World Cup, and how magnificent were they, and also that final. What a final.
That was an awesome game of rugby. Anyone who watched it just, I guess, revelled in the fact that the quality was so high. The tactics were incredible. Nobody had guessed that Glenn Moore was going to A, play a kicking game in the first half to try and manipulate their fullback, and then B, bring it into the big pack and take them on up front, because that's how they lost it in June down in Rotorua. The English fullback absolutely outplayed them. So tactically brilliant, great bunch of chicks, humble, and then of course the ongoing story that was generated from that success, which is will the 15-a-side girls get a salary at some point? Will there be a professional competition? And the answer is yes. There's quite a bit of work that's got to be done. But this next summer, 2018, they're looking at that 8-week competition. So based on the AFL women's comp, so I'm really interested to see how that goes.
Thank you, Mel. Thank you, Liam. We'll see you again soon.